What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about jury duties and animatronics and Afro men. There's so many things to talk about. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Well, as I was doing the intro, Brandon, for the podcast listeners, tilted his head back and like a moment of reflection or something. Yeah. What was that? What was that expressive gesture you made, Brandon?
It was, man, I got a lot of documentation to write at work. And it's just, it hasn't left my brain yet. So I'm just thinking about all the hundreds of pages of policy and procedures I have to write, for this, accreditation package that I'm submitting, in pretty short order.
You haven't turned off the work brain and shifted into podcast brain.
That's right.
Hopefully by the end of like our social media links or something, you'll have gotten there. I do want to say, and I feel like we've been doing this for a while now, where at the start of Apathetic Enthusiasm, for the video version, like it's just the way things have worked, you cue up the audio, right?
Yes.
And I have started for a while now doing in a fully improvised intro that almost always starts with "in this episode."
Yes. In this episode, I do the announcement again.
My daughter has in the past recognized this term. She has stumbled across episodes of Apathetic Enthusiasm as three or four other people on the internet have done in the same way. And she's like, and she'll walk around going, "In this episode." It's iconic now, right?
Yeah.
And so there are people that I work with, dare I say coworkers. And
I dare you to say it.
they occasionally listen to this podcast. And I have implemented very recently an office stand-up, right? This is something that I've done for a long time in my career in different work centers.
Mm-hmm.
I've moved into a different work center and I was like, you know what? I feel like it's time to implement our office-wide stand-up where we do some morning announcements, catch up with the team, see what they're working on that day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way for us all to. Yeah.
Is it just a Monday morning stand-up or isn't it an everyday thing?
It's a daily stand-up.
Okay.
Because it's strict to like the last 24 hours, right? I don't need to hear about what's going on Friday.
Sure.
When it's a Monday stand-up, right? Like, what are we doing today?
Right.
What did we do yesterday? What went well? What's getting in the way? How can managers make life easier for the people doing the work?
Yeah. And it's time gated, right? So like 15 minutes.
100%.
15 minutes.
100%. 100%.
Wow. I like the way you run stand-ups. Dare I say,
I appreciate it. Cheers to
dare
you.
I say, I would like to be a part of one of your stand-ups. Dare I say it?
Well, in a way you are, Brandon, because one of our team leads on one of our teams is an avid listener of Apathetic Enthusiasm and has decided that every time his team starts their brief, regardless of what person it is, they all start with "in this episode" and then go into the day's events. The first time, it was cute. It was funny. It was, you know, flattering. Dare I say flattering? It's been like a week and a half now. There's a bunch of like brand new, like 18, 19, 20 year olds that have only been there for a few weeks that are like, all right, my boss makes me say this. In this episode, we're doing maintenance on our computers. Like, we'll see how long it lasts. But in this episode is carrying on into my real life, which is weird.
Well, I have a critique. I have a critique about the joke.
Okay. Okay.
You're
I'm here for it.
Let him know. Actually, you don't need to let him know.
Listen up, Sam.
Because here's my critique. Here's my critique. Right. It's not an episode. The low hanging change to that is in this stand up. I worked on some cute computers yesterday. Right.
Yeah. It's changed. I don't know. We'll see.
Simple.
We'll see it. We'll see if they adjust phrase. It.
I hope I they know. Do.
I'm waiting for the first team member that's like, I'm not saying that. Sorry. It's not happening.
Hi, everybody.
My name is Travis.
Your evaluation will reflect your inability to follow my direction.
This is coming out of the bottom line. Anyway, I'm Travis. He's Brandon. Hi. We've already been talking for like 5 minutes. If you're new here, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Sure.
If you want to keep up with the show and all the things that we're doing, you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us emails, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Go to Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Or you can go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want those aforementioned video versions of the podcast, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Make sure that you like, subscribe, do all the things that you're supposed to do over there. And leave a comment about what Brandon is getting up to while I rattle off all these social media links. And then finally, a big thanks to all the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm who continue to support all of our podcasting endeavors. That's it. That's the only scripted part of the show. Brandon, my man, how the heck are you?
Hey, man,
don't burn your house down.
I ain't doing none too bad, dare I say. I think things are going pretty good. You know, I came straight home to podcast with you, straight from work.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're telling me you wore this Mickey Mouse shirt to work is what you're telling me.
Yes. Uh-huh.
How is that received in a professional environment?
I'm an IT man.
Okay.
I don't wear the, so if there are customers there with us, I do not wear this lavender Mickey Mouse
shirt. The lavender Mickey Mouse shirt.
Yeah. If I wear any Roosevelt shirt when there's a customer or directors around, I'll wear something more subdued, like an alien shirt where you can't really suss out what the design is.
You really got to look at it. It's mm-hmm. in the finer details.
Yes,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then on Thursdays, I do T-shirt Thursdays. But I don't know. I may have said this before on the show before, but no matter what day it is, I'm wearing a graphic tee under under my button up for my polos. Just because I'm like, I never know when I'm going to transition from like, you know, I'm in party mode, you know?
Yeah, you never know when you have to rip off that button down yeah. and get serious with a graphic tee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I have to, we don't talk a lot about what I do on this show, but I have officially been in the military for 20 years.
Oh, as of this weekend, congratulations.
Which means it's been too long. It's time to get the heck out. And unfortunately, that still isn't happening for like another year. But I'm starting to look ahead to that. And part of that process is a congressionally mandated course that you have to go through. Every person in the military has to do this before they get out of the military, regardless of how long they've been in. It's a transition assistance program.
Mm-hmm.
And tap. Part of that is tappy. I don't think they say that. Anyway, so they they want you to dress in business casual for these courses because that's how everybody dresses when they're not in the military, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So should I just wear Roosevelt shirts all week? That's really the question.
You can, yeah. I honestly, you know, here's the thing about business cash, C-A-Z-S-H. You know, you can tell when somebody was in the military. You can tell when somebody is in the military and they're going to like an offsite where like they shouldn't be in uniform. They all have the khakis. They've all got the tucked in polo. They've all got like, you know, Dockers shoes. Like they all have like the same backpack that they're wearing over there, right?
It's like all black or tan colored.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You see them from a mile away. Here's the thing that I've learned about business casual is jeans are fine. Jeans are fine. Button up is fine. Like a polo. It's if your company that you work for eventually has a dress code, they'll tell you what they want to see or not. But sure. Really, you dress yourself. And that might be the weirdest part. It's not the weirdest part, but it is a weird part about transitioning from the military after so long is you wear uniforms day in and day out. You don't have to think about what you want
to
wear.
I haven't had to think about what I wore to work for 2 decades now.
You don't have to. Why? You don't have to think about it. And sometimes they tell you wear something different. You're like, okay, I can wear something different.
All right.
It's a different uniform. Cool. Okay, got it. So then you're like, all right, now it's time to be an adult. It's time to get a job in the civilian sector.
I gotta pick out my clothes every day.
And then you're like, okay, you're like looking at your clothes either the night before or the morning of, like, what do I want to wear today?
Is my spirit telling me?
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a little bit of awkwardness about that. Now I just wear whatever I'm going to. Basically, I wear the same thing I always wear. That was
the question I was going to ask.
Jeans and a t-shirt and Vans.
With like a Roosevelt shirt. like, have you developed the post-military uniform? Like, do you just have the same types of clothes that you wear every day? That's like, it's not like the same outfit. You're not Steve Jobs, but like, it's like, yeah, I'm going to wear some kind of pants that are probably pretty similar,
mm-hmm.
probably a button down or a quarter zip if I'm feeling
fancy. Or a polo.
Oh, polo.
Yeah.
Marco.
That's a very post-military thing too, is the polo. And then it's like, let me invest in different polos.
I don't know of other shirts that exist than button downs, polos, t-shirts.
A-shirts, tank tops. Those are definitely
I'm just gonna wear tank tops. Nailed it. That's
yeah.
I've never seriously worn a tank top in my life.
As long as it's got like a little tie, a tie tee.
It's a business tank top. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I got it from Goldman Sachs. I don't know. Do they do clothing? I don't think they do.
I don't know. I don't even. I thought that was an investment firm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I think the idea of moving into a new job, a new business, it can be a challenge. It can be, you know, new environment, new people, and nothing highlights that better than the brand new series on Amazon Prime, the sequel, the follow-up to the critically and audience acclaimed series Jury Duty, that started out on like some freemium like streaming network. It was like, I don't even remember what it was called. It was
Freebie.
Was Freebie or something?
Yeah, was it Freebie?
Anyway,
yeah,
it took off, right? If you didn't watch the original season of Jury Duty, it's just outstanding. The premise is pretty simple. A bunch of people are called into jury duty. It's a documentary about jury duty. The thing is, every person in the documentary is an actor, except for one person who doesn't know that everyone else is following a script and acting. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And now they have attempted to reignite that magic, that flame of fun with Jury Duty Company Retreat. This is a new scenario where a person has been hired as a temp, as like an admin temp with a hot sauce company, Rockin' Grandma's Hot Sauce. And he's been hired on for a temporary position just before their annual company retreat. So he has to go on the company retreat with all these people that he just met. And hilarious hijinks ensue. I think only the first three episodes are available streaming right now on Amazon Prime. You mentioned to me last night, you're like, hey, Jury Duty's back. I was like, oh, I already watched the first three episodes. And then I was like, oh, we should watch more of those. And that's when I discovered that only three episodes were available. Yeah. So how much of the show did you get a chance to watch?
I only watched the first episode. Chelsea and I watched the first of three episodes. She's probably not going to watch the rest of it. So just the one. And as we're going through it, I'd asked you, oh, you have three episodes. Is it funny? Yeah, it's funny. Okay, that sounds really enthusiastic. Cool.
It wasn't an overly enthusiastic reaction. You are correct.
And it was, by the way, you know, when you're good friends with somebody for a long time, you can read the tone through text. You can read the tone through Facebook Messenger.
I
like.
I would agree. I would agree. Yes, that is correct.
It was okay. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
it has good parts.
So Jury Duty the first season. So it was so good. James Marsden was in it as himself. I thought that was very, very very cool, a very unique thing to have him there. Like, it gave it a sense of, oddly enough, it gave it a sense of reality that, like, yeah, everybody gets stuck in jury duty, even actors sometimes. And then he's playing a huge asshole version of himself, which I think is wonderful. This company retreat, I watched a preview for it on Amazon Prime, because it's on Amazon Prime. And I was like, okay, all right, yeah, we'll see how I was interested in how they got this guy to go on a company retreat without having to like lie to him for weeks, or however long this company's been there. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, okay, so he's a temp. Okay, I see how they're doing it. One of the things you mentioned to me is that the format seems different, seems off from what Jury Duty was. And Chelsea and I were like thinking about it, like, what exactly is it? And I think you pointed it out, which is this season, part two, Company Retreat, it feels like they're going for like an Office vibe. It feels like The Office.
Yeah, and when I was talking to you, I don't know if I'm misremembering this because of time and having seen the entire show as a whole, but I felt like the first iteration of Jury Duty played more into the fact that he was the main guy was the only person who wasn't acting, right? And I feel like they gave you a little bit more of a peek behind the scenes, like week to week or episode to episode, of what it took to to achieve that, right? Like there was, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely manufacturing this, but the fact that he was the only person that knew it wasn't like fake, felt more in the forefront. Mm. Now it's still present, I think, in the second season of the show, and there's a lot of cutting specifically to Anthony, which is the name of the guy that is the temp that doesn't know what's going on. But it's more of just like quick cuts to him reacting to what the other actors are doing and stuff like that. But there isn't as much like winking or like explanation that like stuff, like the coordination that's happening to put him in scenarios. It's just, what if you were around a bunch of really weird people like that acted a certain way or weird stuff happened?
Yeah,
there's definitely a bunch of like awkward things that happen. I feel like if this was just a, you know, mockumentary type show like The Office or all the other shows that have come since The Office, like it would be an okay version of that show. It is slightly elevated because there is a person that thinks all of it is really happening. But that elevation, I feel, is slightly less than I think what was achieved in the first season. And it genuinely just may just be because the guy Anthony, he's a great guy. He's rolling with things. He's kind of just he's been positive the whole time. He hasn't shown any like signs of this is too weird or this is crazy. There's even a moment early on, it's either in the first or second episode, where somebody in the cast, I think it's a lady that plays like the director of the getaway, the location where the retreat is. She's like, I mean, do you want to leave too? Like one of the characters leaves. She's like, should you leave too? And he chooses to stay. He decides to stay. Mind you, like in most situations, like he's paid to be there. He's working a job. Like he probably needs the money. So yeah, like that's incentive to stay right there, regardless of. And I think the characters are likable. I think the characters are being portrayed by the actors, generally speaking, are likable characters that I would probably be fun to hang out with in for the most part. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you think about the first episode?
What I will say about the director, the retreat director, the person who owns the property or whatever, that moment, I like that moment where she puts that out there. Because it is almost then if he says, yeah, actually, I am going to leave. Like that is I feel like that is actually like a production way of being like, okay, yeah, he doesn't want to do this.
Let's give him an out. Let's afford him the opportunity to not be in this scam, basically.
Right,
that it
right,
is.
Right. So I thought that was interesting. It's hard not to compare it to the first season and what made what made Jury Duty so work so well. Chelsea's like, I can't watch this one. I'm not going to watch this one. There's something a little like you talk about, like the wink and nod of the like their actors at the end of the day. They feel like actors. Like everybody feels like an actor in this one, right? I think there's something grounded about the jury aspect of it, right? Like that every day he's going in there to do a job, and his job is to be a good juror, the head juror. He is like, he's listening to the evidence. He is actively participating in it because he thinks that's real. At the end of the day, they go to the hotel because they're sequestered, and then weird shit happens there. I mean, the weird shit happens.
There's also some weird things that come up during the trial and stuff as well.
Yeah, but, yeah,
for sure.
But there's still like a purpose for him to be there. Be like, this is all weird. What a weird court case this is anyway.
Yeah.
But he's there to do a job, right? There's nothing like that in Company or Street so far, right? And I'm only in the first episode in, but I mean, I guess like him being Captain Fun is that where he's like, he's meant to keep the fun going. But it's not as like, it's not like serious juxtaposed with absurd.
I will say in the next episode, it's like the first full day of the retreat. And they're like, it's seminar day. We have these mandatory seminars that we have to sit through. And there are like hours of like business seminars where they're, but
okay.
Some of them are just like, here's how we do our time cards or something like that. And then there's like really bizarre ones that where they bring in, I forget her name. She's an improv actress. Who she's kind of blowing up right now. She's on a bunch of stuff. She's on a bunch of Dropout TV things. I'll look it up, but, she plays a seminar host and, she does a pretty good job. I think it's the last time she could ever be, she was in the first season too. As I was searching jury duty, she played one of the witnesses as well in season one. Let's find her.
She's got like a top. Kind of a weird, not I say weird face, but
you got a weird face. I'll find it. Talk about something.
Okay.
Lauren Burns, I think is her name.
Lauren.
Nope, that's not her. That's someone else.
Okay.
That's just a blonde person on IMDb.
Robin Adams is it? Yeah, I wonder what her name is.
I'm gonna find it.
You'll find it eventually. Anyway,
all right. Do you plan to keep watching it? Are you gonna keep up with the show? Or are you Lisa Gilroy?
Lisa Gilroy. That's the name. I do recognize that name.
Yes, she's hilarious. Everything I've seen her in, she's hilarious.
I don't know if I will. I don't know if I will.
It's tricky because it's week to week now. Like they're releasing multiple episodes in a given week, but still like,
yeah,
listen, Amazon, you got me. I'm paying for Amazon Prime, whether you release it all at once or over 6 weeks, I'm still paying for Amazon Prime. So yeah, I've been Bezos'd, as they say in the streets.
Yeah.
So yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't know if I will because of your underwhelming reaction to, is it funny? I'm like,
yeah. Well, if I start watching season four and just pee myself, you got to come back.
Okay.
You got to come back.
I'll start on episode four then at that point.
There you go. That's good. That's it. I will. There's a turn in episode three. That's pretty good. And it creates a bit of a conflict that I think the show needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see where it goes from there.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's Jury Duty season two. Let us know. Are you watching it? Did you like it? Did you dislike the first season? Let us know.
Yeah.
Up next.
Invincible up season next. Four is out. I know you're watching that as well.
Oh, the first three seasons I just couldn't stop watching.
Yeah, I know. You love that ultra violence for sure. Dexter and I, we watched it. It's also one of those things that's releasing in bits and pieces. It's good so far.
I was gonna watch it. I'm not watching a lot. I feel like I'm watching more now.
Yeah.
I finished my entire Disney animated films rewatch. So I started watching some other stuff. But now I might start a Pixar animated films rewatch. So watch out, world.
Watch out. Okay. So we talked about Invincible. We talked about which was important. Now let's talk about video games. Travis, what video games? I'll tell you what I've been playing.
What have you been playing, Brandon?
I've been playing a lot of random video games. I most recent one is called like Grind or something like that. It's another Vampire Survivors type of game. Those games are just like really easy to
grind.
Yeah, it's called Grind. It's like a kind of like
is it a nightclub simulator?
No, it's a dating app simulator for gay people.
Bumpin' Grind.
Grindr, the Grindr sim. No, it's like it's like Vampire Survivor, so it's like you don't have to press any buttons. You just level up and you kill monsters, and you know, I like those. They're easy, like mindless games to just be like, I want to play something. I don't want to think too hard about it.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
here we go. So playing that, yeah, I was playing that. I played the Scott Pilgrim EX game. Which is a new fighting. It's like a beat 'em up, Scott Pilgrim beat 'em up.
There like was an arcade style, mm-hmm. Animation, kind of like the comics type yep. look for the characters.
Yep. Yeah. So that was fun. That was a pretty quick, and there are like 8 different characters you can play as. So I beat that. I was good with that. And
jeez,
I stopped playing.
I can't remember the last time I beat a game. I can't remember the last time I finished a game.
Well, the game before that I beat was, of course, Dave the Diver.
You mentioned it last week. Mm-hmm. You beat it?
Yeah.
You can beat this game?
Yeah. Yeah, you can beat it. I did. There's a storyline in it with like undersea people. I beat it. I beat the game. And then there's like a Godzilla DLC. I told you that. I did get the
I think I saw it on PlayStation mm-hmm. when I downloaded the game.
Yeah. So,
what if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
For free, by the way, I got Dave the Diver for free. It's free. It's part of my PlayStation Plus, which yeah. I pay for annually.
I know what you mean.
It's not really free, but it's like it's. I didn't pay per game,
right?
You know,
right.
But yeah, I downloaded it. I tried it out.
Yeah.
You used the term roguelite when you were explaining it to me. What does that mean?
Like somewhat, there's some progression, like every time you dive or every time you go into like, any type of game, like you go in, like a PUBG or Fortnite, right? Like you go in, you start from your bare level and then like you get different parts and you get guns and you get this, that, or the other, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of that run,
jugs.
At the very end of the run, all of that will go away. it goes away, and you got to start it again. In a lot of these types of games, there is a meta progression system. Beyond that, so by saying that, like you collect certain things throughout the run. Those will like help go towards benefiting your starting character every time you do a run. So in Dave the Diver, you start at like you got your suit, you got your gun, you got your knife, all these types of things.
You don't even have a gun. You got a suit, you got a knife.
You got a spear gun.
That's it. You got a harpoon gun. You don't have like an actual pew pew though.
Right, right. You got a spear harpoon gun. Spear gun, harpoon gun, yeah.
Spear gun.
Yes. And so then you upgrade those things and the meta so that lets you dive deeper, lets you get different fish, all this type of stuff. Every run starts from scratch, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree then. It's roguelite. I was enjoying it. I really like the humor in the game, the cutscenes when you're like upgrading your sushi. Or upgrading your weapons and the different professionals that are in charge of making that happen. crack me up. I think it's great. I have not played it as much as I want to because I'm now balancing time. I'm not used to having two games at once that I want to play simultaneously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't finished Hollow Knight yet. I never finish video games. And if I feel like if I spend too much time on Dave the Diver, I'm never going back to my Hollow Knight. So I'm kind of in this like push and pull tug of war between, you know, my little soulless platformer and my roguelite diver dude.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really enjoyable. I'm just at the point now where I got the shark head meal for like the one customer that apparently will now allow me to hire employees at the sushi restaurant, which feels like it's at the point where it's needed. The last time I played, it was like, whew, it's getting close. I might have even missed an order or two. Like it's getting a little too much of a rush.
You know,
that Instagram following's just going through the roof, whatever it is, the cooking gram or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. I like the two aspects of it where it's almost like a what's that cooking game? Like
Cooking Mama Cook Off. No, uncorked, uncooked.
Untapped? No.
Damn it.
If I just put cooking video game.
Yeah, it'll pop right up. Lisa Gilroy is the name of the cooking video.
Lisa Gilroy, that was it. Overcooked.
Overcooked. Yeah.
Overcooked is the game I'm thinking of.
Not under.
but it definitely feels like an almost Overcooked kind of vibe. A little bit different. Mm-hmm. So there's like that part of the game, and then the undersea exploration part is like, you know, Echo the Dolphin or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like a real modern video game that everybody plays.
Yeah. what one of the things I'll say about Dave the Diver is the gameplay loop, as they call it. There are so many different gameplay.
You and these industry terms, Brandon.
I play so many video games. I'm like, yeah, I should just have a video game podcast. these are all things I see on Reddit, and I just repeat like I know what I'm talking about. it is the fishing. You're going down, you're catching fish, and then there is the other aspect of like making money off of sushi. But then you'll eventually find that there's a farm that you can do, so like you can grow your own crops for more ingredients.
When does Dave get to sleep?
That's what I'm saying. Wait, there's more. There's also, you also have like a little fish farm, right? Like, so you have like, you can like get fish eggs and stuff like that and like grow your own fish in these fish farms as well. You have those things.
I'm not even close. I barely scratched the surface.
You have those things. And then you also have, there's also like a Tamagotchi type of game inside the game eventually. And then I'm like, I see the notification. I'm like, okay, I'll feed my fish. there are so many things going on in that game that I think sometimes it gets a little overwhelming.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I can definitely see that.
Especially like at the start of the game, it's like, oh, and now this. Oh, and now this. Oh, and oh, here, put this app on your phone. Oh, now this, right? So it can get kind of overwhelming. It feels like like ADHD a little bit because it's like, well, what about this? Huh? And meanwhile, Dave's like, I just want to sleep.
I just want to eat some sushi and chill out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Get bit in the nuts by a crab.
All right. Well, those are the games. That's the gaming section. One last, you know, Lorcana minute in terms of gaming, because obviously when it comes to games, I'm always playing Lorcana. I played in a local Winnabox tournament at One Stop Anime in Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay.
They've made recent renovations to the store. It's fantastic.
Really?
We had...
Tell me more.
We had 19 players show up, which meant 5 rounds of Swiss before an 8-player top cut. I was on the bye my first round. I did not get to play because it was an odd number, and I drew the odd straw. So I got an auto win my first round. I was like, okay, that's good. That's good. Second round...
Me and
my opponent, you get 55 minutes for a round, and unfortunately, we went to that 55 minute time in our third game, and the rules of Lorcana are if you go to that 55 minutes and then it starts, the active player's turn 0, and you have until turn 5 for someone to win the game. If neither player wins the game by turn 5, it is a draw. You move on, it's counted as a tie. Long story short, neither of us could win. And he's a friend of mine. Like, so at the end of the day, we're like, okay, well, at least neither of us lost. So I was 1-0-1. Third round, I had to play my son, Caleb. And he beat me. So I think I was 1-1-1. Or maybe that was a fourth round. Third round, I got a win. Bottom line is by the fifth round, I was 2-1-1. I needed 3 wins to make top cut. And that's what I was paired against what is arguably the best deck in the format. And I got just the worst draws possible in my hands. And he had the perfect hands. And we still went to 3 games, but it was not close. And so the good news is my son made top cut. He actually got 3rd overall in the tournament. So congrats to him. The bad news is I had to stick around and wait for him because I was out, but I still had to sit there and watch them play. Ugh. No, it was fun. It was fun. Yay, Lorcana, set champs next month.
Woo!
Congratulations. Play online.
Congratulations to your ilk for making top cut.
He won 9 packs, which basically made us our money back. So
wow,
no complaints.
Dang. Like I've heard of because like a 9 passenger van. It's like a 9 pack van.
9 packs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you can't.
We got a whole van.
He can't even drive yet. I had to
coordinate transportation.
Like did you tow it? Did you tow the 9 packs van?
Yeah,
with
I towed
your...
it behind my Kia K4. I towed the 9 packs behind my Kia.
That makes sense.
All right, we have a little bit of time left, and we have 2 topics.
Oh,
both on your side of the microphone.
Okay. Yeah, so I forgot what they were.
You have a movie and you have a major social moment in pop culture. A criminal trial that you could talk about. So
oh, that's right. I was like, shit, I forgot what we were talking about. Okay. So the movie, let's talk about these are Brandon's minutes.
Brandon's minutes.
So let's talk about the movie first. We watched recently this last weekend, Chelsea, Dexter, and I. We watched Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Now, this is the second
Electric
one.
Boogaloo.
This is the second Five Nights at Freddy's, based off of the number 2 after the title. And it is a continuation, as sequels often are, of the first Five Nights at Freddy's.
You're explaining the movie with as much detail as I could explain about the movie.
Now, bear with me.
But you've actually seen it.
Did you watch Five Nights at Freddy's, the first one?
No.
Okay. The first one is better. Here's what I would say. The first one is better. If you know the lore about Five Nights at Freddy's, you're probably the age of my son.
yeah.
I think that was like the most, I loved when Five Nights at Freddy's came out. Like, I like the idea of that game was really, really cool. I liked going to Reddit and watching along and like reading about, hey, this is what the games are about, stuff like that. And like the kids, like my nephew Sawyer, Dexter, like they know all about the lore of all the Five Nights at Freddy's and like who the characters are, who owned the franchise. Oh, the franchise location. Oh, this one is possessed by the spirit of this person, right? And so it was interesting watching the first one because Dexter watched it with Mitch, and Mitch was like, "So what's going on with this?" And like, and then Dexter was explaining all these things. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 has a lot of that still too, where it's like, "Oh, there's this character. Oh, that character." But this one, Dexter was like, "But that character's," he started getting into like, that's not really how the game's like. That character is not a bad person. That character is a good person in the game, and all that type of stuff. And so after we finished watching it, he and I talked for a little bit just about. He's like, "Yeah, I didn't like that one as much as the first one, but if there's a third one, I want to watch it because I want to see where they go from there." And I think that's the thing about FNAF 2. FNAF is it's like Resident Evil for me. when that movie with Mila Jovovich came out, I was like, "All right, Resident Evil, here we go." The game has nothing. The movie has nothing to do with the games, other than like some references. And then all the sequels also had little to do with the games, with the exception of like pulling characters from the games to do completely different plot lines. With Mila Jovovich still there in the titular, not titular role, but in like the primary role. And then those movies, like one movie ended while like, they're like, "Okay, we're on top of the White House. Let's fight Umbrella." And then the start of the next movie, they didn't even continue on. It was just like, it went to like, somehow the world ended and they're in the desert or something like that. Anyways, as somebody who loved Resident Evil, I'm like, "Yeah, you know, you didn't do it right." none of this lore is right. And so watching Dexter be like, "Yeah, okay, they're not doing everything right." It's interesting to see him like start experience that, like his pop culture. Like, I don't know, like if he has had anything else that is like, "Okay, oh, they made a live action movie out of something I'm into," until this. Another example is like Brett, my brother, when he was a huge Avatar The Last Airbender fan.
Oh jeez. Yeah,
right. And then we saw Avatar
M Night's Avatar movie
in theaters, and he's like, "Oh god, it ruined it I'm like, that was Brett's first instance of, mm-hmm. "Yep, don't ask." I think maybe Super Mario Brothers was really, maybe, or like Double Dragon, yeah, no, Street Fighter.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So anyways,
all right. Well,
if you care about Five Nights lore, yeah, I check it out just to keep up with it. But other than that, it's not something I'd recommend to everybody. Instead, we watched, after we talked about Five Nights at Freddy's, we watched the classic 1989 movie, Dolls. And then he and I fell asleep watching Dolls.
Okay.
That's it.
I don't think I've even heard of that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's about dolls.
It's about dolls. I feel like I burned myself out the week prior on movie watching because I was watching so many Best Picture nominees, so I didn't really watch any movies this week. I am very interested in Project Hail Mary. I have not read the book before you hit us in the comments. But
why?
I do want to see it.
Why does everybody? I don't know, it feels like this is one of those movies where I was like, "Did you read the book?" like Ready Player One. Like, it's a Ready Player One-ish, yeah. Where it's like,
did you read the book? Oh, the book's so good. Oh, did you read the book? Before you watch the movie, you should read the book.
I think for me, this is probably very much like Ender's Game was for me when that movie was coming out, where when you read Ender's Game, the turn in that book, the twist towards the end, like, it was earth-shattering for me. Like, I still remember where I was when I read that part of the book, right? It became one of my favorite book series for a long time. And the vibes that I've gotten from people when they talk about Project Hail Mary is that there are moments or aspects of the book that feel very, you know, surprising. And then the fact that he, like, even meets an extraterrestrial in some form or fashion is not explicitly, like, told in the description of the book, I think, or something like that. So, like, initially when they showed in the trailer that he meets an alien, people were like, I can't believe they gave that away in the trailer. But realistically, that's, I think, a major part of the movie. And I think they felt like that needed to be explained to a degree going into it. I think there's still something. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. It's this Mario bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving me the bubbles. I think there's still something that's going to happen that's, like, really powerful or something for that people really enjoyed in the books. Hopefully they're able to capture that in the film as well. The movie just looks really good, like something I would enjoy. I would probably love the book as well, but I probably won't read it. I'm sorry. Cause I want to get an Audible subscription. I want to start doing audiobooks on my commute, but the reason I'm doing it is for the book series Dungeon Crawler Carl. I really want to try that series. So, sorry, Project Hail Mary. You'll have to wait.
Not gonna happen. Yeah. Well, it's directed by Lord and Miller, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a fan of them. I that's probably one I'll wait for the home viewing.
It seems to have a scale that would probably look good on the big screen.
Sure. Friday the 13th part 3, you know? Like, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. In 3D.
In 3D. Okay, all right. That's our movies. One last piece of news. Switching over to the pop
semi pertinent news.
The pop culture of music. Let's talk about music for a second, Travis. And
have you listened to Harry Styles' new album?
No, I listen to only the same things I've always listened to.
You don't listen to any new music?
No, I tend not to. I go through phases where I'm like, okay, I need to listen to some new stuff. And then I focus on that new stuff that I like for a long time. And then, like, oh crap, now I'm just listening to all of that stuff, which is very old now. So I don't know if you remember this guy from 2000s. He came up with
2000.
He came out with a song. I was sitting in my room and I got high.
Because I got high.
Yeah. I don't know if you have ever heard that song before, but
I was gonna go to work, but then I got high.
Yeah, Afro Man.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Afro Man. Yeah, he came out with that. He came out with that song. It was a hit. So
it's shocking that was a hit, because it really was. Like, it was a known song for a while. Okay.
So in the news, I don't know if are you tracking all the stuff that was happening with Afro Man?
I got a loose synopsis. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So for our listeners,
there was an errant, not a break-in, but cops came in to, like, search his house, but it was the wrong house or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. And they were going through his stuff. They did stuff that they shouldn't have been doing inside somebody's house, first of all, let alone the wrong person's house, right? So multiple cops go in there. Well, Afro Man, not happy with this at all, and filming because all of it is in his house, right? They're essentially breaking into his house. And so his, like, you know, Nest cam or whatever it was, it's got them doing shit. Well, in revenge, exercising his First Amendment rights, he started writing songs naming the police officers, actually, and writing songs about, like, how one of them is fat, or writing one, like, how she's probably having sex with the other officers on the force, and stuff like that, right? So these police officers then sued Afro Man. They sued him because it's just hurting their feelings. It's like emotional distress. Defamation. He is ruining their lives. He is ruining their lives. And Afro Man goes to court dressed in the most obnoxious but pertinent American flag suit in the world, and he goes and he's got his American flag glasses, and he's going in there, and they're trying to sue him for defamation, and he's basically like, they came into my house wrongfully, pointed guns at my kids, did all this stuff in my house, and now they're suing me because I'm singing about them. No, you're right. I guess they are the victim, and I'm the predator. No,
I'm putting up a picture of Afro Man's court outfit on the video.
Thank you. You can go on the internet. You can listen to some of his testimony. One of their lawyers was like, you were in the room with the lawyers, and you saw the hurt on her face. And she's like, and we asked, do you want us to stop? She's like, no, let's just get this over with. Like, what do you say to that? Like, what do I say to that? What did she say to me when she broke into my house and put guns in my kids' faces? How did that make them feel? So then the lawyer's like, is there anything that can change your mind? He's like, is there anything that you can do to go back in time and go to the right house and not break into it and put guns in my kids' faces? No, there's not anything you can do, right? Anyways, and then also, I didn't see this, but he also got the ex-wife of one of the police officers to be his witness.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So, needless to say, Afro Man won the case of defamation against him in a victory, a moral and actual victory for First Amendment rights. You know what? Because they're like, you're like putting their faces on the internet and this stuff. Like that. He's like, it's my video in my house. I can put whatever I want out there. That's my video. So.
Well, it was the talk of the weekend around town. Mm-hmm. Lots of people following it. So thank you for that recap.
Yeah. Good job, Afro Man.
And hooray for the First Amendment. We're gonna take a risk on this podcast and say we support the First Amendment, the Constitution.
That's right, and I reserve the right to celebrate when somebody's dead, because our politicians.
I'm gonna live a long life. You don't have to celebrate my death. Right?
Our politicians can celebrate people dying and be okay with it. So I'm just really, I'm gonna start celebrating deaths left and right. But let's not get into that. First Amendment.
Well, that about does it for this episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, everybody.
Rest in peace, Robert Mueller. All right. Anything else, Travis?
Took a dark turn. No, I think that's about it. We are getting closer and closer to a brand new season of Rick and Morty. For those of you that only follow along on Apathetic Enthusiasm, and then wonder where we disappear to for like 3 months at a time. In May, we are going to have brand new episodes of Rick and Morty for a full season. So that will probably mean a lot more time dedicated to Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. But I think we still have a few more weeks of apathetic enthusiasm type episodes that we can do before we fully hit the ground running with new Rick and Morty content. But if you are a fan of Rick and Morty and want to check that out as well, I encourage you to go check out Interdimensional RSS. Go like, subscribe, add it to your podcast feeds, because we'll be breaking down every episode week to week as they come out. There you go. Yeah. And then if you're new here, rate, review, like, subscribe, do all the things. You know what buttons to push. I believe in you.
and make sure you go out to all our social media. Look for at Barnyard Cruise. You know, I'm there. Look for Juggle Mino. He's out there somewhere.
I'm there.
Ink Play I'm Pass. They post stuff every once in a while.
Still exists. Still exists. Does.
Yeah. Go to X and look and spend any amount of time there, and you'll see is on your last time we joked about just women, but really what you'll see is AI prompt engineering just nonstop. I did start using Claude. I switched from GPT to Claude. I like Claude, but that's a conversation for another time. I just want to just broach that with you.
Scribble it. I'm going to scribble it as a next time. Let's talk about Claude.
Yeah, right. Sounds good.
I'm literally typing that right now. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. And that's Lisa Gilroy.
Lisa Gilroy. Bye, everybody. Dave the Dyke.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.